Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Merry Christmas to you all, front to back. Here, you guys come last and you get the best seats in the house. Yeah, the cheap seats. Yeah, do this more often. Christmas schedule. Christmas Eve service, 3:30 and 5 o'clock, candlelight services. And then Christmas Day, one service at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock service on Christmas Day is usually a quieter, contemplative service. Christmas Eve, come with your best voices because we sing those Christmas hymns to the top of our lungs, okay? And we have a lot to celebrate. Holy smokes, I saw that goat that you shot. Congratulations. He shot a mountain goat up in Alaska?
Yeah,
a
little bit larger beard than you have.
That thing looked like a buffalo. It was so big. I've never seen a goat that big. Holy moly. Skip asked me to remind all you guys, there's one more spot left to go fishing, but you got to have your $100 to save your spot, so please talk to Skip. He's worried all and full of anxiety. Here it is Christmas, and he's worried about that. So let's ease his worry, okay? Today, we light the pink candle, which is the Mary candle. The first week, we lit the Bethlehem candle. Second week, the shepherd's candle. Last week, we lit the angel's candle. And the choir sang like angels. Today, we light the Mary candle. This light isn't supposed to be lit till Christmas Eve, because that's the Christ candle in Christmas Eve. And it symbolizes the light that comes into the world. But today, I'm doing something that I've never done before. I'm preaching on Mary and the virgin birth because it's been a scary topic for me. And I'm going to give you something to think about this year, okay? So when you think of a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old girl becoming pregnant, I mean, we don't usually think about that unless our daughters are getting pregnant. But we'll focus some thoughts because this holiday is a holiday of mystery. And of ethereal things that happen. So today we will focus some thoughts on Mary. I think that's all the announcements we need to. Oh, our friend Joyce Reimer needs a ride to the University of Minnesota Hospitals Tuesday. So if anyone's heading down to the cities on Tuesday, she could use your help. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we begin the winter solstice. We are promised that the days will start to become longer. We gather on this Sunday morning preparing for your coming again. And some of us come concerned about packing our bags to head south. Some of us come concerned about whether our families will get together or having expectations met on Christmas. Before this moment, allow us to forget all of those things and to focus our hearts and our minds and our energies on your coming again into the world and what that means for us. So as we gather as fellow sojourners, bless our time together, stir our hearts, challenge us in our thinking, and walk with us these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening hymn is 289, Angels We Have Heard on High. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly sing. Thank you.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who shapes the whole creation, who comes with might and mercy, who fills the hungry with good things. Amen. Let us approach the throne of grace with repentant hearts and take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together. Faithful God, we confess that we have been unfaithful to you. Like dry leaves and withered grass, our lives are blown about by our sins and the powers of evil around us. Restore us, O God. Let the light of your face shine on us, and we shall be saved. God is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bring you this good news. You are free from all that imprisons you. Your sins are forgiven. God heals your broken hearts. Live in peace and harmony as you wait for the day of God.
Amen.
And let us join in the prayer of the day. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that would obstruct your mercy, that willingly we may bear your redeeming love to all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Think for special music today, we should sing a Christmas hymn. Do you have a favorite Christmas hymn?
Do I have
a
favorite? Yes.
Which one? Let's sing the first hymn of Joy to the World. Everybody knows it, okay? What number is it? Good question. H-I, Joy to the World. It is number 267. Under the B, 267. Let's sing the first verse of Joy to the World. Everyone sing to your heart's content. We are the angel choir this morning. Joy. Just repeated the sounding joy.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 16. Paul closes his letter to the Romans by praising God in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has revealed the promised divine plan of salvation for all humanity. Paul proclaims this gospel of Christ in order to bring about the obedience of faith among all nations. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Our psalm this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. We will read it responsively, and where you see the bold R, please repeat the refrain, "You, Lord, have lifted up the lowly." My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For you, Lord, have looked with favor on your lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. You, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. You have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You, Lord, have lifted up the lowly. You have shown strength with your arm and scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. You have come to the aid of your servant Israel to remember the promise of mercy. The promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever. You, Lord, have lifted up the lowly. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel lesson for this fourth Sunday of Advent is found in the first chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 26th verse. In this Annunciation, Luke makes clear that God comes with good news for ordinary people, Mary, from little-known places, Nazareth. This king will not be born in royalty in a palace, but to common folk in a stall. Here Luke highlights the role of the Spirit, a special emphasis in his gospel. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 276. Infant holy, infant holy. Infant holy.
The child is Lord of all. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping vigil till the morning new. Saw the glory, heard the story, tidings of our gospel true. Must rejoicing, free from sorrow, praises voicing, greetings, morrow, Christ the Lord was born for you. Christ the Lord was born for you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A brother-in-law of mine was telling me about his five-year-old niece, Olivia, and her best friend, Claire, who are participating in the nativity play at school. Claire was playing Mary, and Olivia was playing the angel. Before the show, a young boy was going around the dressing room proclaiming to all who he met, "I'm a sheep, I'm a sheep," and then asking, "What are you?" And each child responded politely, and so she asked Olivia what she was, and she proudly said that she was an angel. Well, the boy then turned to Claire, who was still struggling into her costume with her mother's help, and he repeated the question to her, "I'm a sheep, what are you?" And Claire simply said, "I'm Mary." Well, realizing he was face to face with the lead character, the boy felt he needed to justify his own role, you know, being 5 years old. He says, "It's hard being a sheep, you know." He said that with all the seriousness of a five-year-old. And Claire's serious response was just as profound. She says, "Yes, but it's also hard being a virgin, you know." Well, yes, it's hard being a virgin. But let me hasten to tell you, it's even harder to be a teenage mom. Scholars tell us that according to the customs of the land, Mary may have been 13 or 14 years old when the angel Gabriel appeared to her and made the announcement that her life would change forever, huh? So Gabriel says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." What an amazing experience this must have been. Do you remember when you were Mary's age, 13, 14, 15? I love the way one of my seminary professors deals with Mary's situation. He envisioned Mary being 15 years old. This is what he wrote. He said, "15, it's an awkward time. Your body's somewhere between childhood and adulthood. Hormones are doing all sorts of weird things to your body, and there's this great race to grow up. Still at 15, you're not old enough to drive a car, vote, stay out late, or live on your own. 15, there are a lot of things that you're not allowed to do." And then he tells us in this article, "Now close your eyes for a moment. Remember yourself at 15 years old. You're in a junior high, interested in things 15-year-olds are interested in. You're still a child living in your parents' home. Then one night there's a disturbance in another room of your house. You get up to investigate. And there in the middle of your living room stands this beautiful, supernatural, and absolutely terrifying angelic presence that speaks these words to you. 'Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you.' And then he asks, 'What would you do? What would be going on through your mind? Would you be wondering how fast you could get out the back door and down the street?' I think that announcement would be, I think I'd be running out the back door." Luke tells us that Mary was thoroughly shaken by the announcement. There's no question about that. But she doesn't bolt. She doesn't run. And then Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asks the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answers, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." And Mary answers, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. It's an amazing story it's an amazing event in history that we celebrate these days. An angel appears to a teenage girl, tells her that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. Really, this is an absurd story. It's a story that challenges our sensibilities. Even some Christians smirk when they talk about it, as if this is the only story that that Mary and Joseph could come up with to explain her inconvenient pregnancy. But this is what is written. This is what has come down to us. God came to earth at Christmas time. From his birth to his baptism to his death on the cross, in Jesus Christ, God walked the dusty roads of this planet. He experiences what it means to be human, what it means to have a family and friends, what it is to laugh and to love and to lose and to cry, what it is to suffer and to face death. An angel appears to a teenaged young woman and tells her that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. So that's what God did. In Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? What's the meaning of it all? What's the meaning of it all? So what? So what? An angel appears to a virgin, tells her that she's going to give birth to God's child. This was God's way of seeking to woo humanity. God would humble himself and live among us so that we might come to know his true nature, that he's one of love and forgiveness and giving. He would humble himself and live among us. God had no desire to overpower us. He didn't come like some Power Ranger toy. But he came to enter into a relationship with us so that he could get to know you and get to know me. And so God chose this young woman, a virgin. Reminds me of a somewhat humorous story of a champion of women's rights, a gal named Sojourner Truth. Many of you have heard of her before. Sojourner Truth was a former slave, and after she was free, she became a fearless public speaker and a tireless crusader for human rights. It's said that she electrified audiences throughout the country with her speeches. So at this the time I'm thinking about, she was attending a women's rights convention in Akron, Ohio, 1863. One of the women attending the convention recorded what happened at the event. While Sojourner Truth was speaking, a heckler in the back shouted out that women shouldn't have as many rights as men should have because Christ wasn't a woman. And raising herself to the full height, I guess she was a tall woman, almost 6 foot tall, she answered like this. She says, "That little man in the back there, let me tell you this. He say women don't have as many rights as men because Christ weren't a woman. Well, where did your Christ come from?" she asked rhetorically. "From God and a woman. Man had nothing to do with it." So there. She was right. And according to Luke's gospel, man had nothing to do with him. An angel appears to a virgin and tells her that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. And all of history is changed by Gabriel's announcement to Mary. But it's also changed by Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled," she says. No hesitation. "No, I'll get back to you tomorrow. No, let me think about it for a day. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you will." And Gabriel announces to her that she's going to be a mother, even though she had no formal wedding before then to her beloved Joseph. He hadn't been intimate with her, and she replies, "Do with me as you will." There's a Christian writer named Philip Yancey. He notes that in modern United States, each year there's 1 million teenage girls that become pregnant out of wedlock. And like I said in the announcements, we don't think much about it unless it's our daughters. Mary's predicament is entirely different, though, in that close-knit Jewish community in the first century. The news that Gabriel delivered her could not have been entirely welcome to Mary. The law regarded a betrothed woman who became pregnant as an adulteress, and the penalty for committing adultery is to be stoned to death. Did Mary know what she was getting into? Not entirely, perhaps. But that didn't change her answer. She says, yes. Yes to God. And the world has never been the same since. American Standard Version of the Bible puts it like this. She says, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. Though it doesn't occur in other modern translations, this word bondslave is important. The scourge of slavery was present in the New Testament times. Some slaves were taken captive in war. Some slaves were put into slavery to pay off their debt to others. And then there was a bondslave. Those who appreciated and enjoyed being owned and taken care of by their owner, that they said, I will follow you everywhere. I will be a slave to you forever. And I think they choose to serve out of love rather than obligation in this bond slave business. And that's how Mary saw her relationship to God. She would willingly give up her own agenda and submit herself to his will. No wonder God chose this humble maiden for the most important assignment anyone on earth has ever received. Suppose you love God that much to become his bondslave. Suppose I love God that much. I mean, three times in this portion of Scripture, Luke calls and uses the word blessed to describe Mary. It's a strong word in the Greek, conveying God's gracious goodwill toward a person, blessed. No wonder so many people in this world revere Mary with such high regard, because she is a blessed virgin. She was a young woman of courage and of conviction, and she gave her life over to Jesus. Mary was blessed because she was obedient. You want to be a blessing from God? I think this is the secret. Be totally obedient to God's will in your life, and you'll be blessed. Being blessed doesn't mean your life is going to be easy, but God will always be with you. You've heard me say before that the goal in my life these days is that at the end of the day, if I can put my head on my pillow and find a little peace and a little joy, that happens when I've been obedient to God, when I've followed God, when I've lived for God, when I've given my life over to God. Let's use another analogy. Christmas is a blessed season, the most blessed season of the year, but it can be a stressful time. Philadelphia, the old First Reformed Church, which is of the denomination United Church of Christ, always has a nativity scenes with the mannequins representing Joseph and Mary and the angels and the shepherds and so forth. And to liven it up, they bring in live animals. One year, the scene featured a couple of kids, baby goats. That's what I thought, baby goats. Anyway, the kids were a big attraction. People came from far and wide, and they kept them in the fence, you know, throughout the Advent season, and fed them and cared for them. But these kids got in trouble. They'd climb up on the cow, and one night they were especially destructive. They knocked over all the mannequins. They stomped on Mary and Joseph's head. And the pastor of the church the next day, Christmas Day, when they were observing the wreckage, told the passerby, isn't this how many of us feel on Christmas morning? Just kind of run over and beaten up. Maybe we do. Christmas is a blessed season, but that doesn't mean there's no stress. Being blessed didn't mean that Mary's life was easy. And when you think of her life, particularly the 33 years later when she watched her son die on Calvary's cross, those of you who have adult children, isn't it your prayer that they might far outlive you? Is there any greater tragedy than to lose a child? Mary understood that pain because it happened to her. She watched her boy grow up, become an amazing young man, only to have his life snuffed out at the far too early age of 32 or 33. Blessed does not mean being trouble-free. But it did mean that God was always with her. And that's the promise. If you're obedient to God, if you live for God, if you present your life to God, he's always going to be with you. So maybe the thought I would ask you this morning, in this wonderful congregation, is why are we in this place today on a Sunday morning, first day of winter? We're here because more than 2,000 years ago, an angel appeared to a 13 or 14-year-old girl, a virgin in a remote part of the world, and made a most remarkable announcement to her. Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. The kingdom will never end. And Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us these days. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. At the same time, let's join in singing What Child Is This? Hymn number 296. Please rise and let us turn to the offertory prayer on the top of page 5. Let us pray together. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need, until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. With longing and hopeful expectation, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Fill the church with your Spirit, that it may be a messenger of peace and goodwill. Hear us, O God. Appoint the leaders of nations to protect and care for those who are vulnerable, weak, poor, and oppressed. Hear us, O God. Fill us with gratitude for sun, moon, and stars as we today mark the shortest day of the year and welcome the light. Hear us, O God. Shelter all who are hungry and homeless. Strengthen all who are perplexed or afraid. And comfort all who are grieving or ill. Especially remember in our prayers Joyce and Darwin and Wally and Marilyn and Marlon and Eileen and Dean and Lynn and Ron and all of those others in our lives who need your healing touch. Hear us, O God. Draw near to all in this assembly who will travel or welcome others this week who are expecting a child or struggling with infertility and who face the holidays with eagerness or anxiety. Hear us, O God. Yes, Heavenly Father, be with all who travel for Christmas, for celebration, for family time and friend time. Be with the snowbirds who are packing their bags. Grant them safe passage to their winter home. And Heavenly Father, if you could smile upon our families and allow us to trust that you are present where we gather, we pray and know that that will give us peace. So with Mary, we ponder the mystery of your grace and give thanks for those who have gone before us in the faith. Hear us, O God. Receive our prayers, faithful God, as we watch and wait for your coming among us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. From his birth to Jesus' Last Supper, we remember his life. At his Last Supper, we remember all he has said and done. We remember that he gave us himself through this bread and this wine. At that Last Supper, he took bread, broke it, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This morning we will celebrate Holy Communion by intinction, so we will hand you the bread. Please dip it into the wine or the grape juice. If you are gluten intolerant, please let the servers know, and we will serve you bread that is appropriate. Again, all are welcome at the table of our Lord. Please be seated. Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that you have fed us even now with the banquet that is yet to come. Keep us alert for signs of your presence in the world around us. Send us as healing oil and sheltering comfort to those in need. And make us bold in testifying to the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father of glory, Jesus Christ, our peace, and the Spirit of truth, be upon you and remain with you always. Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 290, Go Tell It on the Mountain.